are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast, where the truth is told. On today's show, we have Alyssa Motorina. Did I get that right?
Yep, Motorina.
Motorina. Yeah. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you. It's nice and early today.
Yeah, what time is it? You're in Melbourne, right? What time is it in Melbourne?
9 a.m.
You think that's early?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I managed to do a lot already, but yeah, it's early.
Just out of curiosity, what time do you get up in the morning?
6:30.
Yeah, because I saw you have two kids, your wife and your mother,
yeah,
and you're juggling stuff all over the place.
And I even dropped off my cat to have surgery today. Drop off the kids, the cat, everyone's gone.
and then just to throw something else in the mix, you get into a sport that demands a lot, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I met you in Vegas. And yes, as I told you, we had a booth there and you kept coming to the booth. I know we had some stuff that was going on there. And anyway, so I met you there. And then I find out here that you're from Russia.
Yes.
Originally.
Yes. Well, originally, yeah. I was born in Russia, but lived all my life in Latvia.
Yeah.
So my dad's side's in Latvia and all my mom's side was from Russia.
Okay. You and I have something in common. Well, not very much, but kind of. In 82, 83, I went to Russia. I went to Moscow.
Ah, 83 was the year that I was born.
Ooh, that
there
was.
You go.
Yeah, that's how old I am. You were just born in 82, 83, huh? Well, I want to tell you something. To say that being in Russia for me as an American back then was a shock is an understatement.
Oh, of course, it would have been.
You know, I think at that time, because I went back twice. My whole, the reason I was there was because there of the training. I was really interested in studying the training principles over there, even though it was more based at that time for Olympic lifting.
Yeah.
But it sounded very interesting. But I went to Russia, Bulgaria, and at the time, Czechoslovakia. Those are the three countries that I went to. Were you ever out of Russia? Did you go to like these other countries that were?
Oh, I've been to Czech Republic. That's beautiful.
It was, huh?
Back then it was a Czechoslovakia. Now it's Czech Republic.
Czech Republic, yeah.
I've never been to Romania.
How about Bulgaria?
Bulgaria. I haven't been either. But I've done quite a lot of travel around Europe.
Yeah.
And I did quite a bit of Asia. Although it was my first time in US when I did the Olympia, which is pretty
really?
Cool. Really? Yes. I've done a lot of Europe.
Yeah.
And I did some Asia, and I mean, I've done travel around Australia as well, but I've never been to America, so that was really exciting.
Fantastic. Did you have a good time while you were there?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Did you have some time afterwards to go kind of like outside of Las Vegas, or were you just in Las Vegas?
Yes, I got, I got out in the helicopter and I did the tour over the Hoover Dam. So I went down that way. It was awesome.
Well, one of these days, I think, it's when you watch TV, sometimes you really don't know what to believe. But I mean, Los Angeles is, I'm from the central part of California. And, if you listen to the news, you'll realize that California is one of those states that's kind of out there. You know, we're kind of, they call us the fruits and the nuts a little bit. Yes, but it's not all bad. Let me tell you something. If you ever get a chance to come out to, there's a lot of places to see that are beautiful. But the fact that you're in the sport that you're in, I would think that you'd probably enjoy going to Venice Beach and to go.
Well, I did that. So I went to LA for a day.
Oh,
so I stayed there for the day and then we drove up with photographers show through the desert and we did a photo shoot on the way to Vegas. So very briefly, I visit the Mecca. And LA was crazy. I mean, I've seen traffic, but the traffic that is in LA is just nuts.
It's insane.
I don't know if I could live there. I'd be like,
It's totally insane. People live in a bubble there, They just in their they're in their cars and they live in their cars. Yeah. And if you don't have a car in LA, you're screwed pretty much. I mean, you can go to like
you're just sitting there, not even moving.
It's brutal. I like to hang out. I mean, I'm from 200 miles north of that in Central California, which is a much there's three parts of California, basically, Southern, Central, and Northern, and they could be their own states. I mean, they're similar, but they're really kind of different, you know, weather-wise, and even the people. I'm in a part where a lot of farming, we are the agricultural, you know, for the whole, you know, whole world, actually, we're big in agriculture where I live, but as LA has been my second home, because in the 80s, I was down there training at the Mecca with all the big boys. Gold's Gym, if you're in there long enough, it's an absolute zoo. And, you know, I like it. I like that craziness. And you see all kinds of...
Very old school. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you see there's a lot of walks of life that hang out in there. You know, you've got movie producers and you've got just all kinds of freaks that are walking around there. It's really quite fun if you like that kind of environment. Anyway, I'm glad you got to see that. Because, Venice and Santa Monica, really, really nice areas down there in that area. Yeah. And of course, like you found out pretty quickly that you can't, you're better off if you stay kind of in a section, like on the west side, like that.
Just stay there, not move.
So I noticed here when I was looking at your bio, first of all, I wanted to find out, I always like to know what got you into this, to the sport, your sports model. Is that right? That's the category you're in?
Sports model, that's right.
All right. So what got you into the sport, and before that, were you an athlete? What got you take me down a little pathway that you went on.
I guess I've always been active as a kid, and we always had like gymnastics set up at home and jumping on the rings and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and just being a usual kid, climbing trees. I was a bit of a tomboy, so I was always active.
Yeah.
And then before I had kids, I used to get into classes, and I used to do like strength and tone classes, a bit of like body pump, but nothing serious. You know, I've always sort of been lean, and I didn't really need to worry about my weight. Or I used to think people that used to go to the gym are crazy. I'd be like, how boring. Why would anyone want to do that? And that's a true story. I used to just go, people would look like, what are you doing? You go to the gym and you just lift weights for hours. Yeah. I couldn't think of anything worse. Yeah. And then when I had kids, I have two boys, so they're pretty full on. So after my first, I went back to my fitness and I did a bit more classes. And then after I had my second, I sort of got a bit of I felt like the classes wasn't enough, because I just needed to get my adrenaline out after the day with the boys. It was just too much.
Yeah.
So I got into weights that way. So I noticed that once I started doing the weights, I just felt like it was like a yoga for me. But, you know, I can't do yoga. I'm not one of those people that can just sit then out. So for me, it was just getting into this strength training. I found like I was just releasing all this adrenaline from the day.
Sure.
And so I just was like, whoa, letting my steam out. And then I just felt like I needed to go heavier and push. And it was just complete mind change. I think the big turnaround was having my boys, I guess, and what got me into fitness.
Yeah.
And in terms of weights. So so I've just become this person that I used to, you know, always laugh at, and I've become one of them. I
know, how ironic when you thought that, you know, why are you
If you told me, you know, 15 years ago, I would have just gone to you, whatever.
You know, you just never know how and what path you're going to go down. You don't.
You just don't know.
Because I would have thought the same thing as far as getting into the sport of bodybuilding, because, I mean, I was an athlete all my life, but when somebody, and I used to be really shy. Like when I went to school, I would drop classes that had anything to do with doing an oral presentation. Okay. I did one once, and cause you had to do it to get a grade. And I taught the class how to chew gum, believe it or not. I mean, it was cause they said, just teach us anything. I was like frightened beyond belief. I couldn't even believe how scared I was up there. Right. And so then, you know, fast forward, and I dropped classes in high school, college. I just wouldn't do them. I just refused. It was too scary, and I thought I was gonna die from it. And then you know, I get into the bodybuilding thing, and it's like, holy crap! Now I have to get up in front of a bunch of people in a bikini or bathing suit. It's like that would have been the furthest thing that I would have thought that I would have done, and lo and behold, it turned out to be my livelihood. You just never know.
You just don't know. And in terms of bodybuilding, I'm not even talking about that. Like I said, people used to do weights, and when I used to work as well, and people at lunchtime, they'd go into the weights, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah, what's wrong with you guys?
Why are you boring? And in terms of competing, forget it. Like I did not, my brother-in-law used to compete, And, you know, he had a photo of him in the fridge, on the fridge, and I used to just go, why would anyone want to do that?
Yeah.
The orange in their little undies, yeah. Like, what is going on here? Like, you would never, ever imagine that I would even consider doing it. And like yourself, I was always really, like, shy. And I guess that's what probably got me into competing is just try and get myself out of that comfort zone, because I've always been sort of a stage fright, and I get quite anxious having to talk. And English being my third language as well, I've always been really conscious, you know, to talk, because obviously when I came to Australia at 14, I didn't have any English at all. So I quite struggled a lot at school, and, you know, I was bullied a lot. So that was a big thing. So for me to get up there, you know, and try and, you know, not only showcase myself and then, you know, get myself exposed that way, that was a big, big thing. So I guess I did it mainly just to you know, get out of that fear.
Yeah.
And then, I just loved it.
yeah. I totally relate to what you're saying. I have to tell you a quick story. You're talking about like all being all orange, you know?
Well, orange.
Listen, back in my day, okay, because I'm quite a bit older than you, the way that we used to put on that, and I don't know if they still do this, but I have a hard time believing that they do. The way we'd put the tan on, we have all these spray bottles, and we'd be in our hotel room, okay, and we'd have somebody spraying us down, 12, you know, 10 bottles, because you had to put on several coats. That hotel room, by the time we left, looked like there was a murder that happened in there. There was so much orange, you know. Of course, now they just spray tanning, and it's
boots, and it's all proper. Yeah,
I think that was almost the harder thing to do, was to actually get prepped for your show, because of all this little, you know, two people spraying you down and wiping you down. It was insane. Anyway, but it's amazing what you can do, what you're capable of doing. And here's the crazy thing for me, maybe you can relate, because I think you're good at what you do. If you never would have done that, you wouldn't have known how good you are at that. I think that's a great life lesson. It's like, if you let your fears really stop you, you might not really know that you're unlocking your genius that you have in your calling. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. I guess it helps, you know, being surrounded by the like-minded people as well.
Yeah, that helps.
You know, being in the gym and then, you know, meeting people who compete, or, you know, meeting, let's say, my trainer who, you know, gave me that push as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, I was always against it. People used to always say, oh, you're so lean, you know, why don't you try it? I'm like, yeah, never.
Yeah.
That will never be me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, slowly, you can never say never, because you just don't know.
Somebody told me one time this, and it stuck in my head. You know, certain things stick with me. Most things don't. I'm a slow learner, but when I get it, watch it. And I had somebody tell me one time, look, you're not going to die from it. You will not die from this. You know, something that just put it really into a really good perspective. I'm thinking, right. You know, I'm not going to die, probably, unless I die from a strange heart attack, you know, because I got so stressed out that I lost it, you know, and I died, but doubtful. And that just, and then of course, once you get up on stage and you start, not even that, just doing the things that you think that you wouldn't do, all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. Not only am I good at this, I like this.
Yes.
I like the way this is.
The first experience was a bit, you know, scary, and I was just thinking, oh my God, don't trip over in heels and face plant all over the stage.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what was going on in my head. But yeah, I guess the more you do it, the more you get better at it, and the more you're excited about it. But the first one, I was a nervous wreck. I was just like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah.
I want to ask you about that, because I'm relating to what happened with me. I don't remember. When I was competing, we had to actually choreograph a routine for 90 seconds, a minute and a half.
That would have been hard. It's the only way.
Well, let me tell you something. I practiced for hours and hours, as you can imagine. And I went out on stage, Alyssa, and right before I went out, it was mind-blowing. I forgot my routine. I'd done my routine probably, I don't know, 1,000, maybe 10,000 times. So I would get, you know, because I'm a perfectionist that way. And I didn't know that either until I got into this crazy sport. And I didn't remember one thing on stage. And I had people coming to me and say, oh my God, you were a great poser. I didn't remember one thing, because I forgot my routine right before they called me out. And I freaked out. But I was, it was too late, you know? I was throwing
but
it
in the water. Winged it. But no one, that's the thing. And like, it sounds so familiar to me because you know your routine, but no one else does. So they just assume that this is your routine. But because I'm the same. The only time I didn't stuff up my posing routine was, and that's the truth, at the Olympia. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is the first time ever in all the shows that I've done that I've done it to a T as I've practiced. Every other time.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know what you mean.
And everyone's like, you're such a natural. And in my head, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. And the worst thing that you could do, as you know, is really let people know that you've made a mistake. You just transition to something else and they don't know any different.
And in your head, you're like, oh my God, I've done it again.
You know, I tell you what. But when I came off that stage, I can't tell you how it changed my whole life. I mean, that was, at that point, you know, I'm Portuguese, and in our culture, we're in the dairy business, and it's handed down to the next generation. You know, that's just the way it's supposed to be. And I was like the black sheep, and I didn't, you know, I went to the dairy, and I worked on it for a while, but I was an athlete. And after I competed in that first show, I said, okay, that's it. This is what I want to do. And at this stage of the game, I'm 27 years of age. I have two kids, and I went to my first wife, at the time, and I said, I'm leaving the dairy business, and what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to be a personal trainer. What? In the 80s, in my town, not one person was doing it, but it didn't matter to me because I made a promise to myself, if I ever found that passion, that's one of the things that's a common trait amongst all of us that are in this sport to the degree that you are, is we have to have that passion, that drive, that mindset that nothing's going to stop you. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, I think with anything in life, if you don't have that drive and mindset towards any goal that you want to achieve,
you're
not going to achieve it.
And yet most people don't. I would say that being in the industry for as long as I've been 38 years now, and I've had six or seven training studios. I still have one left that I go to because that's where I do my training with 200 clients. I don't do the training anymore, but I just go there. I have people doing it. But it's one of those things that's just, I promised myself that if I ever got something that gave me that passion and that buzz, I wasn't going to question it this time, you know, and just try to be somebody who I wasn't really, you know, meant to be. I wasn't being authentic to myself. And it somehow worked out, you know, it just kind of does when you have that kind of, you figure it out. It's a game changer when you do something that you love because the obstacles appear differently than when you're into something that you don't like. And most, you know, think about most people are just going through life and they're not doing what they really love, at least from my perspective.
I'm sure there's a lot of them.
So you came from, I see here in 3 years time, you've like accomplished a lot.
First show was September 2016.
Yeah. And you're already at kind of like at the top of your game. I mean, do you continue to take the steps to get you on stage? I mean, did you get a coach early on to help you?
Yeah, so from my first show, I've had a same coach, Luke Trainer. So he's the one who got me into the initial show in the bodybuilding and stage. And through that, so we've done many shows together.
Yeah.
And that's when I won my pro card. He was running the show in Melbourne in March last year. So I did that show, and that's how I won my pro card.
Uh-huh.
So then that gave me an opportunity to do the pro show in Sydney, which mm-hmm. Ken Ross was running, the World Cup. So I did that in September last year. And then obviously from there, you sort of qualified to do the Olympia. And then it was just, oh, do I go, do I not? And considering the fact that I've won the show, I was like, all right, I have to do it.
So did you seek out your trainer? Did he see you working out in the gym?
Oh, we've sort of known each other from the gym. So, yeah. So we already knew each other. And then you all became, you know, friends and, he trained me for the shows.
So what did he see in you? How did he convince you that you needed to be up on stage? I mean, if part of you never thought that you would have done something like that, how did somebody talk you into this?
Well, I guess like even before meeting him, I've heard it quite a bit from people and saying, oh, you should think about competing
uh-huh.
and all sorts. So, and then he competes himself. and he's, you know, he's putting other people on stage, and I sort of saw that as well. And yeah, and I just, I guess I trusted him.
Yeah. And yeah. the first show that you did, how well did you do? Did you win it? Did you place top five? Did you place it all?
No, I didn't place at all. And there was a lot of stuff ups. The first show was the worst experience. Oh, yeah. Because my tan wasn't right. My makeup wasn't right. My bikini wasn't fitting right. So everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that put me off a lot. So I tried, and I didn't place, and it was just, it was quite scary. Yeah. And then there was another show coming up in 2 weeks. So I thought, I'm not going to do it. But then I thought, maybe I will do that show, and I'm already in condition, and try and sort of redeem the experience and maybe get another feel for it. And I did another show, which is another natural show, and it was completely different experience. Yeah. So, you know, and I placed. So I placed second, I think, and fifth.
Yeah.
So I placed in two lineups. So 2 weeks later. And I mean, we had the hair was right, the makeup was right, the bikini was right, the tan. So yeah. So, and then, yeah, I had two experiences. And I guess I'm glad that I did, after my very first show, the 2 weeks later, I'm glad that I've done that other show, because I got another feel for it. If you asked me after the first show, and if that was the only show I did, I probably go, nah, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah. You know, I used to ride horses quite a bit, and my dad, he taught me a lesson. He said, look, sooner or later, you're going to get bucked off. Okay. But the key is to get right back on that horse and do it before you think about it too much, because you might not ever get back on it again. And that was kind of what you're telling me. It reminds me of the story that my dad told me, you know, you got right back up in there. Hey, listen, there's a positive way to look at this. If everything went wrong in the very first show that you did, everything else is potentially up. Set it down. Yes.
And that's what I thought. I mean, what's the word? I mean, I didn't face plant on stage in my heels.
There you go.
One thing that didn't happen. But I thought, what is the worst that could happen? Like, I already looked up what I felt. Like, my body was there, but it just, everything else wasn't complementing what I was meant to be doing. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
My trunks were too big. My bra top was too small. And, you know, the color of the tan, and just nothing was working. But it was a lesson, and I guess, you know,
it's really what's really interesting to the outsider is they think, you know, how hard can this be? Put some makeup on, you know, go up there. But there's a lot to it, isn't there?
My god, there's so much to it. You can bring your best body, but if all those other things fail you, you're not going to showcase it. I mean, we all know how important the tan is.
Right.
We all know, even with the makeup, because of the way that the highlighter was done, it just looked like, with the lights in my face, it looked like I had two white spots around my eyes.
Like a raccoon.
Being a girl and doing, like, you know, fitness modeling or sports modeling, you know, looks are looked upon too, like the whole presentation, your hair, your makeup. So you do get judged for those things as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you bring your top rig to stage, at the end of the day, if you're, you know, you're lacking in your other, you know, the bikini and the hair or tan, or that can really, you know, put you backwards.
You have to pay attention. I call it to the nth degree. Every little detail, it makes you insane sometimes, you know, because there's so much to do. And here's another thing that I've learned and watched over the years, because I did quite a bit of competing back in those days, is that, you know what, you can come in. Now here's another aspect of the coming in and paying attention to detail. You can come in and have the greatest body on stage, but if you don't know how to show it properly, you don't win.
No, absolutely.
And you could be the very best.
Posing, presentation, you know, like the whole package.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, you know, you've trained so hard.
Yeah.
You know, you get to that day and you might have the best body, you know, backstage walking around, but then you're on stage and you freeze, or you don't showcase your personality.
Yeah.
All things, they all add up to the, you know, end score.
Yeah. You know, there's an old saying, there's more than meets the eye in most cases, you know, and people just don't realize how much goes into that. And, you know, part of that, the sport actually, that was part of the sport that attracted me, was because it was so damn hard. I knew that it was going to be so hard to do that. And that, in a strange way, was exactly why I wanted to do that. And on top of that, I had somebody that said, you know, you really shouldn't be, based on your body, because I was, as far as bodybuilding goes at that time, I was wide-waisted. You know, I didn't have that classic V.
Yeah,
and that one of the gym owner that I was at the gym now at this point, he goes, no, you should probably think about doing like powerlifting. And I said, oh, hell no. Now that you said that I shouldn't be, you know, on stage for bodybuilding, okay, I'm going to do exactly that, because yeah. that's sort of my...
What to do, and I'll do it twice.
Exactly, you know, and it turned out really good. I probably, you know, to be honest with you, I might have done very well in powerlifting, but, you know, that's not what I wanted to do. But yeah, it just took somebody like that. But yeah, that's all this, you know, it's like nonverbal communication up there. Cause obviously you're not up there singing, you're showing your body off. And that's what we call nonverbal communication. Yeah. And I've written a book on, after I got out of the sport, you know, I didn't realize how much the sport motivated me to stay in shape. That damn stage motivated me to be in shape. So if nothing else, three times a year, I was in really great shape. You know, and but I wrote this book, and actually, to be, I wrote this book called From Homeless to Handsome and Then Some. When I was competing, Alyssa, I could care less what I looked like in clothes, really. I mean, I just threw stuff over me, and I just cared about what I looked like on stage. That's where the sort of the title comes from. But that other part of the title is And Then Some. So From Homeless to Handsome and Then Some. I had to find a new bodybuilding for me because I didn't want to compete anymore. I did it. I've been there and did it more than once for 15 or 20 years. And that was enough for me. But I couldn't find I didn't have that motivation to really stay in shape anymore. It's like, you know, I kind of want to do it, but I mostly don't. And I got into fashion, just to kind of fast forward. I taught myself how to dress impeccably. And I wrote a book to teach men, because most men don't know how to dress themselves. They usually find a woman or a grandma, you know. But then, so it was From Homeless to Handsome. And Then Some was all about nonverbal communication. And I learned this through the sport that I was in, because I thought, okay, if you don't know how to show your body, maximize your strengths, minimize your weaknesses, because some people don't realize that we all have weaknesses, even in our top condition. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You got to know how to minimize that. You know, that's part of that sport. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I could get all dressed up like I am right now and looking good, baby. But you know, if I'm not able to communicate nonverbally with my body language on a stage, maybe it's going to a job. And I freeze there because I don't have good nonverbal communication. I mean, it can impact you. Well, I guess my point that I'm making, not only does it impact you in the sport that you're in, but it can impact you in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And it sounds like with you, like it did with me, this sport for you and this sport for me opened me up. It made me realize that I could do a lot more than I ever thought that I could. And one of those things was to be comfortable in front of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so it was really, you know, more than just a sport for me. It's been my passion and love of my life. Okay, so let's get back to your competition. So the second and third time that you went up, what were the major changes? I know you said that, you know, part of this is just jumping in the water and getting your feet wet and seeing that it's not going to kill you. You won't die from it. But what were like the... I know that you made some changes, but were there any kind of changes that you made with your training that got you better as you went along? Your training, meaning there's three components, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to competing, weight training, cardio, nutrition. Those are the three components that are usually pretty central, right? So what is it that you did from, you know, the first one and taking those steps? What were the kind of changes that you were making or needed to make based on the category you were in?
Yeah, well, I guess my first show in September 2016 was my oh, let's give it a go sort of thing, you know. I didn't think I was going to love it or I was going to hate it. I just thought, I'll just do it for fun. Obviously, the seriousness of it was for me. I mean, it took me a few weeks, you know, to get in shape, and it wasn't really hard. And I was just like, oh, yeah, whatever.
You know how many people you know how many people would just say they'd like to strangle you for saying that? It just took me a few weeks.
I know.
Oh, yeah, that's just something I decided to do. Yeah, okay, a few weeks. Okay, go ahead.
It was because, you know, I think a few weeks before then I was in Bali, you know, enjoying my holiday. And then I was like, time's ticking. And, okay, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And then, yeah, the first show was horrendous. And then 2 weeks later, we fixed all those, you know, external bits and it went great. You know, I had been up place second and fifth. And I thought the let's call it first season, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I thought, I kind of enjoy it. Maybe let me just see if I can, you know, put my head down and really focus and maybe, you know, give it a bit more thought this time. And,
brother.
And more passion.
Give it a little more thought.
Work a bit harder, you know, and get better nutrition and the training. Because, I mean, it was, like I said, it was my first time and I've only just started doing weights maybe a year before, but then it was never really serious, you know? I hated weights. I mean, why would anyone want to do
that? Why would you? Yeah, right.
I guess, you know, I didn't have that much muscle as well. So I probably, you know, had to work harder and try and build it. And I'm a naturally lean person, so it's hard for me to build and keep muscle as well. Anyway, so then I made a plan. Okay, I'm going to have a plan in the season next following year, which was like 2017 May, was going to be my first show, you know, after my first show, like a proper. So, you know, I had hired another coach who helped me with diet. So I still had the same coach for training. Then I had a proper nutrition plan and, you know, I did it all properly. And and then I did that show in May and I won it. So. Yeah. I guess, yeah. So I got the taste for it from the first go. And then I just thought, okay, well, let's see how far I can go if I'm going to, you know, commit to it. And now knowing what to expect and, you know, put more effort into posing and training and the nutrition. And I came out, you know, I won, I think, the best theme wear and I won my category as well. So I got my big wins and I was really happy. And I was super lean and I guess, you know, you could always look better, you know, we always have critique of ourselves and, you know, kind of muscle here, more muscle there. But I think, you know, on that day, I mean, I was really happy with how I looked. So then, from that on just was another show and then another show. Yeah.
So let me ask you, as an athlete, do you put all of your, with your coach, do you just put all of your trust and let him deal with all the training and all the cardio and all the nutrition? And then
on the nutrition side of things, I've sort of always had someone else do it and or myself, but the training,
is that still the case?
Yes.
Now in your sport, because I'm not familiar with sports model category, hell, I wasn't even when I came back. I got out of the sport when I was 41, which is, let me see here, I'm not very good at math, but it's like 21 years ago. And when I was competing, it was all bodybuilding. I mean, even the women.
There was no fitness models, sports models, bikini, none of that.
No. So when I decided,
you know, guys in shorts, like that was not.
So when I got a wild hair, you know, because once the bug bites, it never really leaves you. It's just like hiding somewhere down in your body, and then it comes out again somewhere. And so I decided that I wanted to see if muscle had memory. And I decided to compete when I was 41 and 13 is what, 54, 55, something like that. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's worse now because I'm almost 65. Anyway.
So I decided, it's like, oh, wow, you decided to, you know, dust off your trunks and
impressive. Yeah, so I decided to do that. And then so I'm doing my first show. My warm-up show was in San Diego. And I go, what the hell is this here with board shorts category, figure, class? It was like a whole brand new deal. And I understood from a business side, I've been in my own business now for lots of years. I understood why they did that because the sport of bodybuilding is more, if you just do that, it's a much smaller group of people. You know, it's a cult following in some ways. So I understood that, but it was a shock to me to see all these categories. And when I went to the Olympia, there were even more categories there,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
So in your category, why don't you tell the people that are listening to this, okay, what's the distinction, for example, between, because I've got these categories down, sports model, now with you, figure and physique. Can you tell me sort of what the distinction is between those categories?
Well, I guess the sports model in this particular federation, you wear like little shorts, like a sports outfit. So shorts, little crop top, and your sneakers. So you never wear a bikini.
Yeah.
Whereas in bikini, so there's a bikini category where they wear a bikini.
Oh, bikini, heels, yeah,
too. Whereas sports model is just more of a sporty look. You know, you're trying to look like a sports model, I guess, on the front cover, you know, promoting sportswear.
Yeah. But do you have to wear heels?
No, but you can wear like sneakers that have heels in them.
Oh, I think you had sneakers on.
I did have sneakers, but they were like sort of, they were like wedges. So they had a bit of height to them, like a Nike.
Like something like that, right?
Yeah. So they were kind of like, so they went like a wedge.
I told you I remembered you. I remember your sneakers. No, really, I did. I'm not just making that up. Okay. So now, is there any posing or choreographed routine that you have to do in that category?
So the posing is the same as it would be for bikini, fitness, and sports. So they're all just, you know, you're doing your stage walk.
Yeah.
So there's no, you're just doing your little, you know, gracious, fancy, you know, stage walk.
Are there mandatory poses that you must do? Like, do you have to go?
The quarter turn. So you do quarter turns.
Yeah.
But they're not like figure posing where, you know, you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just trying to be, you know, just flowy and pretty.
Yeah.
And
that type of thing. You know, one of the things that, you know, the sport, it takes a while for anything to evolve. I mean, back then, there was always, especially with the women, it wasn't so much with the guys, but the women, they had such a hard time defining the categories early on because, you know, the Rachel McLeish's of the world, I don't know if you remember that name. And she started in bodybuilding, but then they wanted to tone that down because we weren't ready for real muscular women back then. Not really. And I don't know if we really are now, but I think it's more accepted now. But there was they just didn't have a clear vision of how these categories should look.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I'm asking you what the distinction is. And I think you did a really good job of telling me that. So when you go out and do your mandatories, then it's just about now you go off stage and you come back and just do your, you did a walk of some sort.
You do a tea walk initially. So everyone does a tea walk, you know, to the points on the stage. And then, you know, you go off to the side until everyone's done that. And then everyone comes out and doing your mandatory posing. That is not, you know, as hard as you would go doing figure, but you still want to look muscular.
Right, right.
Model, because you still need to have definition and abs and all those things.
So when you're out there by yourself out there, all alone on that island, do you have, yikes, do you have to, is there a certain amount of time that you need or have to do your thing? Or like with us, it was like a minute and a half. We had to do this choreography.
Whereas, you know, for your stage walk, you literally have to, you know, it's probably about a minute all up. You know, you walk out to the front, then you do the front poses, then you sort of walk to the side, and then the other side, and then you sort of come back and you do your back pose, and you come back. I think all up, it takes around a minute.
Yeah, yeah. And so here's what I learned as I was, you know, repetition is the mother of skill. When you, as an athlete, we talk about when you're first doing something, it doesn't matter what it is in athletics or just anything really, in a sport, but the sport in the beginning is very fast. In other words, it's fast in your head. Like you didn't remember much in your first time that you were on stage, and either did I. You know, I didn't even know up there really. You were just done. But
thank God for the photos in the end, because you're like, oh yeah, I've done this.
yeah. I'm like, you know, for all this work for that, it was over like that. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but here's the thing that I noticed that this is when I really started enjoying my craft is through the repetitions is that game, then the game starts slowing down. And now you can be up on stage and you can totally, you can
soak it in, you know, you can actually definitely soak it in.
I think that's
you're not like, oh, what am I doing? But you could actually, you know, I find that you can sort of engage more.
Yes.
Because you're not just thinking, what steps am I doing?
That's and when it gets
becoming more comfortable.
That's know? When the game slows down. And yes. It's now you can actually think. And it's kind of like the, I call it the pregnant pause. When you're doing a talk and then you have a pause. You know, that pause sometimes is very uncomfortable until you get used to that, right?
Yeah.
So being on stage, because one of my mentor, the guy that he was the guy that told me I should be a powerlifter, he was actually pretty cool. He helped me out with posing. He gave me some really good information. He said, you know, do less than more. Just do about four or five poses, but then just do them really well as opposed to doing too many. Yeah, that was his good. That was good information. But he said, Leo, he goes, when you're on stage, believe me, because he competed quite a bit. He said, slow down. And if you think you're slow, slow down some more. Right? Yeah. It is so true. And then I remember not only being, you know, that guy, but when I go to competitions, because I've trained quite a few people for shows, and you can tell the ones that are newbies because they're flying around, you know, and you don't even get a chance as a person who's looking, you know, I don't get a chance to see you because you're just going from one transition to the other and you're gone, you know? And was that like that for you?
That's true. Absolutely. The conscious effort to slow down in your transitions and hold the transitions. It makes such a difference.
Oh my goodness. I mean, to the voyeur and the viewer that's watching you, it's night and day. I mean, and of course it is to the judges. I mean, for goodness sake, they have to be able to see you. But I tell you what, I know. Where did she go? Just on stage. I think I saw, but I tell you what, when I got to that point, especially towards the end of my career, and especially when I came back, because you know something, I actually enjoyed it in many ways when I came back at 54. I enjoyed it in many ways much better getting another shot to do that again. You know, it meant something different to me. I loved it in a way that I didn't, and I loved it, you know, when I was competing earlier on.
And how did you go?
What's that?
How did you go?
How did I do?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was top three, and you know awesome. I didn't. Yeah, I mean I needed like another year, you know, to get it all back. But no, it was, but I was just enjoying it so much, especially being up on stage and having fun with the crowd. Oh my goodness, you had to pull me off that stage, you know, it was just so awesome, and it really does. You know something. There's differences when you see like, you know, just anybody that's entertaining, because the part of your sport is playing to your audience and entertaining us, you know, and you have to get used to, unless you're just a natural performer, it's not natural.
Oh, it's not natural at all. I found the poses to be the hardest and the most daunting, because I'm a tomboy. Like I said, I grew up with the boys climbing trees. So to me, all the girly, sassy stuff. Like,
whoa.
I just want to come out and like do front double twice. Like, I just do all the manly stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I would much rather than, you know, being all flowy and girly.
Yeah.
That was the hardest for me, because I'm like, oh, it's so not me. People go, you're such a natural. And I'm like, no.
If you only knew, you know? And that's the thing about in the industry. You know, as a someone who's had training studios now for 38 years or 35 at least, and training, I've trained hundreds of thousands of people over the years, you know, and a lot of people have come through that have wanted, hey, I want to compete. And I said, well, you know, you really don't understand what's involved, you know, and I'm just flat out telling them, I said, look, you know, if you're not willing to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this for months and months at a time, don't waste your time or my time. Just don't do it, because most people like the idea of it than the reality. Would you say that's the case?
And that's the case. Like, I mean, you hear it all the time. People, oh, I want to do this. You know, I want to compete.
Right.
And the amount of people that actually make it through the process and make it to stage from, you know, the initial, oh, I want to do it. There's not that many.
No.
You know, because it's hard. You know, it's very small
percentage of people.
One day, and you literally look like that just on that one day, is months and months of, you know, of hard work, you know, that's, you know, saying no to social events, you know,
for that one day,
just for one day, you know, the diet, the training, the posing, the thinking of your outfit and the makeup and all of that is just for that one day, not even a day, what did I say, 1 minute of your routine and maybe
exactly.
Some comparisons, and that's it. And you look like that, you know, just that day. And then the next day you don't even look like that.
Well, you know, so yeah. And I tell you what happened to me, you know, it happened to a lot of us back in, I mean, it just happens to athletes and bodybuilding. And I don't know if this happened to you, but you could be like, you know, you're pre-contesting and you get to that last week, because at that last week for like what I was doing, a lot of people at that time, that's when you start manipulating, taking water, increasing, taking water out. If you mess up right there, you can mess up and ruin everything that you did and not even get a chance to be at your best on.
I've done that.
I had
a show like that. Yeah. I overspilled. So I overcarbed and I spilled and I was 4 kilograms more than what I was the day before on Thursday. So I was just watery. It was the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just that one thing.
Yeah.
You train for so long.
Yeah.
And you the best condition. I've got photos of me pre-show and I'm like in top-notch condition.
Yeah.
And then come show day, 4 kilograms extra. So water just went everywhere. So that all those months have just gone, down the drain.
That'll make or break you in a hurry, won't it?
Oh, it was tough. Like I was really upset about that. But there's nothing you can do. What can you do?
Well, and you know, and what I learned right there was I had somebody teach me a really good lesson, because at that point when I was doing it early on, I wasn't really documenting everything on paper. You know, I was just doing it by, okay, I'll remember next time how I did it for this show, you know. And a guy that was, I don't know if you heard of this guy, he's Tom Platz. Does that name ring a bell for you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay. Golden Eagle was his, he had the blonde hair and a huge leg. He's like, kind of like Lee Priest. Lee Priest actually was, Tom Platz was Lee Priest. Sort of his idol at that time. You know who Lee Priest is? He's in Australia. No? Okay. Anyway, too young again. But Tom gave me some really good information. He said, look, and he was a pro. You know, he competed in the Olympia with Arnold Schwarzenegger back in those days. And he was somebody that I enlisted because I got to a point where I needed somebody who had more information and more experience than I was able to get to the regional level, but not past that. So I hooked up with Tom, and he told me, look, most people, and especially in the sport, you keep trying to be better and just a little bit better, and you're doing that all the way to that last week. And what ends up happening a lot of times for the athletes is they end up crash landing onto the stage because they've gone too far. And, in your case, it was you were bloated with water. The water spilled over into the subcutaneous fat, and you, even though you're in fantastic condition underneath all that, and you were probably 3 days later or 2 days later.
Oh, literally by Monday, I was back to my 4 kilos. It's just,
it's like, really? You know? But that's, again, that was part of the sport that made it really fascinating for me, because I said, this is so darn hard to get right that most of the time you don't.
That day, yeah.
It's a window. It's like a 6 hour. I mean, you have to be ready essentially for prejudging. I don't know if it's like that now, but for us, it was like, there's that prejudging. So you had to be ready like in a 4 hour window, you know, having all these emotions and freaking out and wondering, oh boy.
Yeah. I tell you. But even talking of this, like even for me doing the Olympia, obviously I've never ever flown down that way
towards
the US. So I've always flown the other way. So I know how my body reacts flying one way.
Yeah.
So I flew in, and obviously I was in LA on Tuesday and my show was going to be in Vegas on Saturday.
Yeah.
And even there, it was touch and go. And every day I was looking at my body and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I've got the flu from the flying, because it's 14 hours flying. And obviously different food, the waters. And, I had another coach help me for the 8 weeks, Mark Carroll. So I would be like telling him, oh my God, I feel like I'm still holding water. And even the night before the show, which was obviously Friday night in Vegas, I did like a WhatsApp call and I'm like, nah, not happy. You know, I know my abs. I know how I'm meant to look. And he's like, you know, you're lean, you've got abs. I go, but I know my body and what it's meant to be doing.
Yeah.
Even the night before the show day, I was not happy with my body, because it probably took obviously a while to adjust to all those, you know, changes. And then I remember going to sleep, and then the first thing in the morning, I had like a tan at 6 a.m., my alarm goes off, and the first thing I do, I just touch myself and go, yes,
we made it.
And I was like, you know, had I come on a Wednesday, I wouldn't have made that day. Like, and I was like, yep, And I woke up and I'm going, yes, this is going to be a good day. I'm
that's
happy.
A good,
everything,
that's a good day.
Everything came in, you know, at the last minute.
Yeah. And that's and one of those.
That one day that just makes a massive difference.
It's really something. You know, when you get to that point, you're so finely tuned that, you know, just a little bit of an adjustment can make a difference. And there was a bodybuilder back in the day. His name was Samir Banut. And this guy would look incredible, but he would let nerves and stress get to him. And every single time he came on stage, that cortisol would release and he looked smooth on stage. And yet he was razor sharp just a few hours before. You know, it's a crazy sport like that, you know. I love it.
It is crazy. And then, like, obviously, because I've gone back overseas to see my family in Russia. And my family in Russia, they don't even understand it at all. What are you doing? And obviously, they would have seen my photos from the shows, the initial shows that I did. And, you know, you look really big and you're muscly. And, you're posing in a way, you know, to accentuate all your muscles. And when I went, you know, went back and they're like, oh, I thought you'd be all big. And I'm like, it's an art. It's a sport that, you know, they're like, oh, you don't even look like you really go to the gym. Like, of course. Like, it's all there for one day. So they just thought I'm just going to be this crazy woman.
Right, right. I know. No.
And they just couldn't believe it. Like, oh, okay, so you're normal. Yeah, I'm normal.
You're not abnormal. You're normal still from lifting all these weights.
Arnold Schwarzenegger
meeting, you know. That's funny. You know, people, it's so interesting because so many people just have different perceptions of how you look. I remember I'd be in really great shape and I have somebody else speaking, oh, you look skinny. You know, I'm like, great. You know, I'm in a sport of bodybuilding and you're telling me I look skinny? That could just ruin me right there. You know?
Well, that's people that don't compete in this sport, they don't understand that, you know, you're getting lean, not skinny. Oh. So everyone's saying, when I get ready for the show, everyone's like, yeah, oh, you look skinny.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually called lean. It's not skinny.
Yeah, lean. What's lean mean? It's skinny. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, listen.
It's not what you want to hear.
I know, that's for sure. So are you doing any kind of personal training for your...
No, I'm not a trainer, but I am studying nutrition. So I'm currently studying to be a nutritionist.
Oh, good. Okay.
All
right. Well, listen, when I wrap up the show like we're doing now, I always allow the guests to promote anything that they want to. And some people don't have anything to promote other than give some great advice for the people that are possibly doing this sport. Do you have anything that you would like to promote that you're doing?
Well, I just, except for the fact that, like I said, I'm studying nutrition, so I'll be certified nutritionist by the end of the year. So
nice.
If anyone wants to follow me, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, you know, I've got two kids. You know, if anyone wants to follow me for the inspiration or, you know.
And I'm going to tell you something, I think they should because, you know, so many people, they use an excuse for a lot less. You know, I mean, you're like you said, you're a mother, you're a wife, you got kids, you got all this going on. And yet you can still do it. You know, here's the thing. The motivation has to be greater than the obstacle. And you're proving that. And you are inspiration.
Thank you.
I think that, you know, tell the viewer where they can find you on Instagram. Is it Instagram, I assume, that you're talking about, right?
Yep. So Alyssa M _fit is my name on Instagram. So, and yeah, I'll be putting a lot more, you know, nutritional content as well as I, you know, to my study and you know, I'll be able to take on clients, so I could do that online as well. And like I said, I'm there to motivate, you know, moms and dads that didn't think they could do it, you know, just to motivate people that, that it can be done. You know, you can have the crazy going on in your life, you know, you can have the household, you know, with two crazy little boys, and, you know, you can say never, never, but then you could end up doing it like you're doing, like I'm doing, you know.
Yeah, and there's no one better than to do that than the person that's gone through it and that is going through it, because that is a strong example. So I applaud you. Like I said, I remember I met a lot of people at that event, and they were, I tell you, the athletes that I met there were just top notch, and you're definitely one of them. And I remember you because you kept coming over to that booth, and it was because of that gripper.
I just wanted to do the gripper. I'm like, how could I not?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I've got one here in the cupboard because you gave it to me.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Like, I get it, and I'm going to post that I've done it.
Listen, the next time we meet again, you better be able to squeeze that damn thing with one hand. You got me?
Oh, okay. We with my foot.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, listen, I really do appreciate your time coming on. It was a lovely interview. I think that we all got a better sense of who you are. I know I did. And continued success. And maybe sometime down the road, we'll cross paths again.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming on. See you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.